Welcome to the online home of Providence Christian Church in Cape Coral, Florida. If you would like more information, visit us online at providencecapecoral.com. Now may the Lord bless the preaching and the hearing of His word.
Struggling. I couldn't quite figure out why. I couldn't put my finger on it, what was going on inside of me until I heard that song. And as soon as I heard those words, I'm like, that's it. That is what I'm feeling right now. The weight of the world upon me, taking me down, starting to drown under the weight of the world, wondering, is it okay to even be human? So I can look and see the inherent flaws in this. I'm not God. I'm not in control of everything. And yet when the world was beating me down, that's where I was at. So a year ago, my mom was in the ICU. Cutting out in and out on me, isn't it? Is that better? No. Is that better? Oh, there we go. I'm usually nice and loud. The Italian in me, like it. Rarely do people complain that they can't hear me along the way. So as I was saying, a year ago, my parents live about 2 miles away from us. I'd been sick on like Monday and Tuesday. And then on Wednesday, my mom said, like, how did it start? And I was like, a scratchy throat, stuff like that. She's like, yeah, I think I'm getting the same thing. On Thursday, she's like, if I feel like this in the morning, I probably need to get into the hospital. I wake up the next morning to a message from my dad that they're at the hospital. My mom was in the ICU for 13 days. That's a long time in ICU. Kind of at the same time, while my mom is there, not sure if she's going to survive, my daughter Rachel, she's 11 now, struggles with chronic migraines. She was in the ER 12 times last year. Still really no sense of cause or how to prevent it. We have an appointment actually next week with the neurosurgeon, just trying to figure out how do we care for our daughter, give her some quality of life along the way. All that, and this talk about after 14 years in this church that I've loved, that has loved me and my family well, leaving to go plant a new church in Sarasota. And while really grateful at the opportunity and see God moving and very clear on that, it's a big entrepreneurial undertaking in the midst of all of these other things that have been happening. So I wonder, what is the antidote to that sense of being overwhelmed and going under? With that, let's take a look at our text here this morning. We're going to be looking at John chapter 15, verses 1 through 17. Would ask if you're willing and able, please stand for the reading of God's word. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask in the Father in my name, he may give to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. This is the word of the Lord. Lord, this is your word. By your Spirit, we ask that you would come and apply it to our hearts, because we are your people, for whom you have loved, for whom you gave your Son. So, Lord, come and speak to us through your word now. Amen. Please be seated. As we take a look at this text, here's one of the little hints when we as pastors are reading through a passage and we're trying to think of what the focus of the passage is when a word repeats itself over and over in a passage, alarms start going off in our minds. I would encourage you the same. If you see a word repeating over and over again in a passage you're reading, let that be an indicator of, hey, this is the central point of this passage. 11 times in these 17 verses occurs the word abide. 11 times in 17 verses, this word abide, and is given to us as a command. Verse 4, abide in me, that is a command, and I in you. Verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. We are commanded to abide in Christ. But even more than a command, it's an invitation. So I think we need to stop first here and ask, what does it mean to abide? Not a term that most of us use in kind of casual conversation. Oh, hey, Frank, what are you up to? Oh, nothing much, just abiding. I mean, if any of you have had a phone call go like that, I really would love to hear that story. We'd all kind of scratch our heads if somebody said that to us. So what does it mean to abide? The word abide means to remain, to stay, to reside, to wait. Andrew Murray, in his great work, and I think I will quote him at least one more time in this message, on abiding in Christ, says, abiding in Jesus is nothing but the giving up of oneself to be ruled and taught and led, and so resting in the arms of everlasting love. Isn't that beautiful? To abide is to lean and rest upon Christ, his person and his work. So here's my kind of working definition of abiding. To abide is to have a settled confidence in God's sovereign goodness. Let me say that one more time. To abide is to have a settled confidence in God's sovereign goodness. It's right there when we're drowning, when everything feels like it's got us and it's pulling us down. We're heads about to go underwater and it's the last thing we can see. When in those moments of life, whatever situation is going on around you, to abide is in those moments that settled confidence that in that moment God is both sovereign and he is good. See, if God was sovereign but not good, he'd be just a dictator. And if God was good but not sovereign, he'd be like Santa and you're hoping for good things from him. But that is not the God we serve. That is not the one true God. He is both sovereign and he is good. To abide is to cling to that great promise, to rest there, that settled confidence that right there, we can take a deep breath, we can breathe, we can rest in God's sovereign goodness. So as we look at this passage here, I want to look at the picture of abiding that John gives us. I want to look at the fruit of abiding, the promise of abiding, and finally, the power of abiding. The picture of abiding, the fruit of abiding, the promise of abiding, and the power of abiding. And if I was a really good pastor, I would have spent a little more time and made that one more have a P in it so that they all flowed there. But alas, that's not what you're getting from me. First, the picture of abiding. Look again at verses 1 through 4. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. See, the first thing, the picture that we get from Jesus here that John is capturing for us is this picture of a vine that has branches coming off it. A picture of utter dependence, where those branches are dependent for their very being, their very ability to live and survive upon their connection to the vine. And the Father is going to come and he's going to prune off all of the branches that are not bearing fruit so that he might foster the health of the tree to bear fruit. Now, a couple of years ago, we planted this tree in our front yard. And it's some like tangerine lemon hybrid fruit that in like 4 years has given us like one piece of fruit so far. So I don't know. But we're kind of at this point where like branches are coming down, and I feel like it really needs to be pruned, only I have no idea how to do that well and not actually go and kill it at this point. But that's what the Father does. He's going to go in, we get this picture of the vine and the branches that are connected to it, and the Father is going to go and take care of that tree. He's going to be the one that prunes off what is killing it to foster the health of it. But that branch is only alive. That branch can only survive by staying connected to the vine. That is the picture of utter dependence. We've got a picture, and I think we're going to be able to pull it up here in a moment here, that I saw online a few months ago, and I just think this is a great picture. Whenever you're ready. I've never seen anything like this. I really would love to know where this was so I could go and visit it in person. You've got this tree that clearly has been cut off. It's not only that it has been cut off. That is sawed clean straight through, right, at the bottom. And yet, it continues to grow up, and it continues to be alive and healthy, not of its own accord, but because its branches are reaching into the tree next to it. It is getting its very life and nourishment from the tree that is rooted and grounded, even though it has been cut off on its own. That is the picture of utter dependence. This tree is alive not of its own doing, not of its own strength, not of its own abilities. It is alive because it is connected to the tree that is rooted and alive. This one tree literally dependent upon the other for its very survival. We have this picture of I am the branch, you are the vine. Our very existence is tied to our ability to stay connected to Jesus. Verse 6 says, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. The branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. The best case scenario for a branch that's been cut off from the vine is to become firewood. That's its best use. Otherwise, it's just going to lay there in the woods. Hudson Taylor said that God wants you to have something far better than riches and gold, and that is helpless dependence upon Him. I'll be honest. I don't really, when I look at that, think of that as a good trade. Something better than riches and gold is helpless dependence. Those don't feel even or equal to me. But it's our utter dependence, that helpless dependence upon Jesus, where we can live knowing the only way we live is by being connected to the vine. So that is the picture that is painted for us. A vine and branches. The branch get cut off. At best case scenario, it's firewood. But rather, there's an invitation to stay connected. That is the picture of abiding. To stay connected. To be utterly, helplessly dependent upon Jesus for our lives. Well, the word abide occurred 11 times in those 17 verses. There was another word that repeated over and over again, and that is the word fruit. One of the promises of abiding in Christ is fruit. Fruitfulness. What's the whole point of a fruit tree? To bear fruit. A fruit tree, our tangerine, lemon, hybrid, whatever it is, that fruit, that thing, up to this point, it seems kind of healthy. The branches are growing. We can see the base. But up to this point, we are not seeing the evidence of what it was intended to do, which is to bear fruit. Hoping eventually we'll get to see that. But I think there's a question for us in that. And we think about, what does it mean to be fruitful in life? Do you want your life to matter? Do you want to bear fruit? How do you bear fruit? Abide in Christ. Stay utterly, helplessly dependent upon the vine. In another illustration, I don't know, maybe Brent has used a Thomas the Tank Engine illustration with you in a sermon, but probably not, right? So I'm going to use all kinds of illustrations that I know they're going to... Here's the thing about having little kids. You watch a lot of TV shows and things that probably aren't being watched once your kids grow out of that stage. But Thomas the Tank Engine, his great ambition, his great desire as a train is he always said he was always seeking to be a useful engine. He wanted to be useful. That was his great aspiration. For Thomas the Tank Engine, is that he would be useful. Well, going back again to that picture of the vine and the branch, you cut the branch off, it's at best firewood. Not useful. No fruits can be borne by the branch that got cut off, that is disconnected from the vine. But connected to the branch, it can flourish and it can bear fruits. If you've ever wanted to be useful, if you've ever wanted to bear fruit, have a lasting purpose, how do you do that? By abiding in Christ. To have that settled confidence in God's sovereign goodness. Your fruitfulness as a branch is dependent upon your connection to the vine. Quoting Andrew Murray one more time here, the safety and fruitfulness of the branch depend upon the strength of the vine. Your and my fruitfulness as people is not our ability to figure out how to push forward another piece of fruit, to have another outcome that we were able to deliver. Our ability to be fruitful is dependent upon the strength of the vine to which we are connected. So we've looked at the picture of abiding, the fruit of abiding. I want to talk about the promise of abiding. Verse 11, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. I believe if we scan the whole of Scriptures, we find several promises that are associated with abiding in Christ. Peace, contentment. But in this passage, Jesus offers two things. That his joy would be in us, and that our joy would be full. Now, in those moments where you feel dragged down, overwhelmed, like you're about to go underwater, joy's usually not the first word on our lips. We're not quick thinking, right now I am full of the joy of the Lord. And yet that right there is the promise of abiding. Is that his joy is going to be in us and that our joy would be full. What a beautiful promise that the joy of the Lord will be in you. And that's where this is a supernatural act. As we are connected to the vine, we are given something that does not make sense, that we can't ever be, that we can't even explain. And it's not like that fake little joy, like we've all known those people that are really good at, like, always looking happy to the point where you look at them and you're like, feels a little disingenuous to me. But a joy that is settled, that God is sovereignly in control and he's good in that moment. Even when you can't figure it out. I can promise you that if I was writing the script, my mom would not have been in the ICU for 13 days. If I was writing the script, my daughter would have no more migraines. And I think we could go around the room and say, what are the things that if you were writing the script would not be the case? We all have those things that burden us, that are weighing on our spirits. That we wake up in the middle of the night and are burdensome to us. And if we went around there and we'd hear big things and small things, things that that seem like a really big deal, and some that are that may seem like a really small deal, and yet it doesn't matter because it is kind of weighing on you all the same. Where is there joy in those moments? The joy is as we are able to breathe, knowing that God is sovereignly in control right then. And that he is good. That is the joy of the Lord, not this kind of fake bubbly that of a show that people can put on. But in the midst of the weightiest moments of life, to know that right here, right now, God is here, he is present, he is with me, and he's good. Full and overflowing joy of the Lord is a great promise for us. And now I want to get to the power of abiding. Because if I'm really honest, clinging to the vine, I'm not very good at it. Everything in me wants to go off and try and figure out how to take control in the moment, how I'm going to make it happen my way, how my script is the script that should be happening right now. And yet as I've wrestled through this, I keep coming back to, if abiding is this settled confidence in God's sovereign goodness, how does that happen? Where is the power to remain connected to the vine? Verses 12 to 17. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all that I've heard from my Father, I've made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another." Right there, I think, is the power of abiding. First, I have called you. I chose you. You did not choose me, but I chose you. The power of abiding is that he is all the power. He is the one who holds us and sustains us. It is not based on my ability to get a good grip and not let go. It is based on the fact that he chose us. He called us. I had a friend years ago, she wrote a song called Holding On, and when she would introduce the song, she would always illustrate it this way. She would kind of show, like take like this. And she would frame it this way, every time I let go, I find that he's still holding on. The power of abiding is that he is the power. That he called you, he chose you, you didn't choose him. The second, Jesus called you his friends. You are my friends. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. So Jesus called you, Jesus chose you, Jesus called you his friends. And then finally, Jesus laid down his life for you. It's a really ironic picture when you keep running with it. This picture that the vine gave up its life for the branch in order to give the branch life. How's that work? So where is the power of abiding? The power of abiding is that it's Jesus who called you. Jesus who chose you, Jesus who called you his friends, and Jesus who gave his life for you on the cross. Our passage here takes place in the events immediately leading up to the arrest and death of Jesus. These are the words that Jesus wanted his best friends in the world to hear in the immediate run-up to his arrest and death. There's an image that often framed, referred to as the cross chart. And it kind of starts that as your understanding of God's holiness is here, and your awareness of your own sinfulness is here, this is as big of a cross as you need. What happens in the Christian life is we become more aware of the holiness of God. Now, hear what I'm saying. God does not become more holy. We become more aware of his holiness. That's different. As we become more aware of his holiness and we become more aware of our own sinfulness, that gap, it used to be here. What we find is when we get to here, the cross is this big. The more aware we are of God's holiness, the more aware of our own sinfulness that we are, the more we can be aware of just how big is the cross of Jesus, that he laid down his life for his friends. And that is going to follow us all of our life. Every day, we're going to become more and more aware of just how tempted we are to bail on the vine and run off on our own, to try and take back the control of our lives. Who wants to be utterly, helplessly dependent? How's that a positive? I'm going to do this on my own. Over and over again is our temptation. And we're going to find over and over again that we can't, and we're not very good at that, and there's no life to be found apart from Christ. And so the story of our lives is the story of realizing and becoming aware more and more of how holy God is, and more aware of how sinful we are, and how big is the cross of Jesus. And there's an invitation that's included in that. I've seen that chart kind of used time and time again, but the last time I saw it, they put a little house at the foot of the biggest cross in the illustration and asked, what would it look like to make your home at the foot of the cross? As we make our home at the foot of the cross, we see how great is the holiness of God, how great is our sin, and how great is the cross that is what holds us to the vine. Only then, as we abide in Christ, as we are utterly dependent upon Him, only as we bear fruit, only then can we love as we are called to love, only then can we obey as we are called to obey, only then can we bear fruit as we are called to bear fruit. It is only then and there as we make our home at the foot of the cross. All right, I want to take a real quick little aside here for a moment. In the Sunday school time, we're talking specifically about sabbaticals and what that means for pastors. I hope that as you hear this, this call to abide in Christ, to find our settled confidence in God's sovereign goodness, is a call for all of us. But I want to suggest that the opportunity to give your pastor a sabbatical is an opportunity to invite him and his family to abide in Christ. So I want to say thank you. Thank you for your elders and their shepherding of the pastor to enable the sabbatical. I want to say thank you to you as a congregation for your willingness to give your pastor a sabbatical. But I really believe that one of the great opportunities of a sabbatical for a pastor is that he and his family would get a chance to abide together. To step away, to slow down, to breathe, and to say, all we have here is the vine. All we have is the cross of Jesus to hold us, to sustain us. To be reminded themselves that they are utterly dependent upon God. That they can rest anew with a settled confidence in God's sovereign goodness. So thank you for supporting your pastor in this upcoming sabbatical. A unique opportunity to step out of the way to pastoring and to abide in Christ. And that is my prayer for him in this. So I opened with the words of one song. I want to close with the words of another. A song called Abide. Great, great song. It's like 6 minutes long. I'm not going to read all the words. But I want you to hear a little bit of these words. You're the way, the truth, and the life. You're the well that never runs dry. I'm the branch and you are the vine. Draw me close and teach me to abide. Be my strength, my song in the night. Be my all, my treasure, my prize. I am yours forever, you're mine. Draw me close and teach me to abide. Here I am, Lord, would you teach me? Teach me, would you teach me? I depend on you. I depend on you. Yes, I depend on you. I depend on you. For my waking breath, for my daily bread, I depend on you. For the sun to rise, for my sleep at night, I depend on you. You're the way, the truth, and the life. You're the well that never runs dry. I'm the branch and you are the vine. Draw me close and teach me to abide. Let's pray. Oh Lord Jesus, you are our God. We praise you. We recognize that all we have is to cling to you. We are utterly, helplessly dependent upon you. We need you to teach us to abide because it is not something that we are going to do on our own. We need you to come and to grab hold of us, to never let us go, to teach us to abide in you. Because you are the way, the truth, and the life. You're the well that never runs dry. You are the branch. We are the vine. Teach us to abide in you, that settled confidence in your sovereign goodness, knowing that this is you who holds us and sustains us. It is you who gives us life. You alone are the power of abiding. It is at the foot of the cross that we find the price that you paid to call us friends, to make us your own, to engraft us into the vine, that we would be yours forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in for today's message. If you would like more information about Providence Christian Church in Cape Coral, Florida, visit us online at providencecapecoral.com.